We have the full group here. Today we're going to be hearing the presentation for SIP 321. Noah, I assume you're presenting that?
Yep. Yeah, I can jump in. I'm hoping this will be pretty straightforward. In the course of doing more market development and starting to work on some integrations, the core contributors have found just a couple of upgrades to the core system that will make mostly the experience for developers smoother. So this is just sort of a grab bag of those changes that we'd want to get through the governance process and have the auditors take a look at as part of the upgrade that'll roll in the previous couple of SIPs as well. So I'll run down the list. The first one is just adding getter methods on the core system to return the address for the stablecoin issued by the system and the Oracle manager that's being used by the system. So the architecture of the V3 core system involves having all of the modules running through one proxy into a router and then points at the corresponding modules. So when you're interacting with the core system, you'll always be using the same address. There are two separate, we call them associated systems. One is the stablecoin, and the other is the Oracle manager. So those systems have their own proxy routers and modules and live at their own addresses. So by adding a getter method on the core system, just for integrations and developer experience, being able to return exactly what the addresses are of those other systems streamlines things. Otherwise, you would need to go into documentation or sort out what those addresses are yourself sort of separately. So that's the first one. I can pause for questions or just keep moving through them.
I think it's pretty straightforward.
Go ahead.
No. And no questions, sorry.
I figured that was pretty straightforward. So the Oracle manager consists of different node types, and so you can create these trees, like graphs out of these nodes to sort of pre-process an on-chain price feed. So, like an example use case would be you could take like a Chainlink on-chain price and then like a Uniswap TWAP price and then take like the lesser or greater of those two. So you would have the Chainlink node, the Uniswap node, and then a reducer node that returns the lesser or greater of the two options. So there's a series of different node types that are listed in the README. We're proposing adding a constant node, which always returns a fixed value price. So this is useful for testing because sometimes you want to stand up a test environment and just say, I just always want to have the Oracle manager return a price of $5 or something. But we think this could also be useful in production use cases. Maybe in combination with a reducer node, you might want to say, give me the price of price from Chainlink, but always give me the greater value of this and like three. So you could create a price feed that gets processed where it returns a certain price, but it never goes lower than a certain value. Or maybe you want to multiply it by a value divided by a constant value. So that would be the added functionality with this node. It'd be a non-breaking change.
Only feedback on that is I would love in our documentation to explicitly call out for future councils that should never be used to hard code or assume the value of a pegged asset.
Yeah, we can put that in the README. Yeah, definitely. Cool. I'll make a note of that.
So what do you think is the use case for, aside from testing purposes, I cannot think of a use case where we can use in production a price that doesn't change, except for the dollar, of course.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the main motivation for this was the test use case. In combination with the reducer node, which you can do like multiplication and division with, I could imagine some situation where you might want to string something together with it. But yeah, the test use case is the main thing.
If we start to get into double-sided markets of like, you know, betting odds or something like that, where one's negative, you might want to return absolute values of like zero or one rather than a negative integer. So there could be use cases like that, I imagine, as well.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Another possible use case is maybe you just want to protect, like, if for some reason the price of this Chainlink price feed, you want to make sure that it never goes below like $1,000 or something like that. For some reason, you're making a market that has that requirement. It's just stuff like that, miscellaneous use cases. Probably not something you'd see on everyday markets.
Yep. So, in V3, we won't have the mock aggregator contract. You will have this price feed. Is that the understanding of it?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so you can, the Chainlink aggregator contract gets basically pre-processed by the Oracle manager. So you could still create test scenarios or sort of mock Chainlink behavior if you wanted, sort of in relation to the Oracle manager. But the idea is the Oracle manager, if you're doing mock scenarios with a market or the core system even, you would be creating more of a mock scenario from the Oracle manager than trying to mock the Chainlink setup.
Great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in short, yeah, this sort of replaces the mock.
Yeah.
Contract. Yeah. 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 Cool. Cool. Okay. So the next one is about the create account function on the core system. The current implementation allows the user to select which ID they would like. And the main reason we set it up this way, or one advantage to having it set up this way, is that UIs can construct multi-calls that create an account and then executes another series of transactions afterwards. So you could have sort of like custom onboarding experiences depending on what you're trying to do. And so you know which account you're going to create. And so in the account ID you're going to use. So in the multi-call, you can also stage the later calls to use that ID, assuming it'll get provided. There are scenarios where maybe you have so the proposal here is to add a create account function that works without accepting an ID, and it just automatically generates a valid account ID for you. And so use cases here would be potentially on-chain integrations would prefer just having an available ID always provided to it without needing to sort out what's available itself. And then there's a sort of loose risk of front running, where potentially someone could try to submit see a transaction coming in to create an account with a certain ID. Someone could try to front run that with the same ID and revert their transaction. This isn't a high risk scenario. It'd be more like griefing to try to just sort of inconvenience users of the protocol or slow it down. So it's not a super high risk scenario, but another advantage to adding this function would allow another direction for creating accounts. It wouldn't be subject to that situation.
Yeah. If we're being honest, like every single, there have been a ton of people who brought up this issue, and while we don't think it's actually an issue for a number of reasons, the griefing issue, we decided that, you know, just to prevent people from being concerned about that, or just in case it does come up, despite our expectations, you know, we have this second path available for creating an account.
Is there a getter for the full array of users' different accounts, or is that something we expect people to index off-chain?
Definitely something that's indexed off-chain.
Yeah, it depends on... Well, I mean, it depends on what mapping you're looking for, but the accounts are NFTs. So anything you can do on chain in terms of querying an NFT, you could do with the account tokens.
Yeah, I was just thinking, do we have like a function where I could put in an address and get an array return of the different NFT IDs associated with it?
Actually, I think we do have that function.
Yeah, yeah. It's I think it's an enumerable 721. Yeah. So Yeah, that's already in. Yep. Cool. Okay. And then the last item is about the iMarket interface. So this is the interface that markets have to implement to integrate with the core system for liquidity. So like the spot market, the perps market, whatever, needs to conform to the interface. We currently have a method on there, that's called locked, and we're proposing renaming it to minimum credit. The functionality stays the same. We just think that this is going to be, much clearer from an integrator standpoint, from a code cleanliness standpoint. The purpose of this value is that the market can specify, how much credit capacity, effectively how much USD, it expects to be able to withdraw at any given moment. And if, LPs or pool owners try to, withdraw out of the market, sort of run away, that'll revert if it takes the credit capacity or again, the amount of withdrawable USD for the market below this value. So again, like we called it locked because we were thinking about it from the perspective of, this is something that sort of locks in, collateral or locks in credit capacity, which it still does. But the value that's being returned is a dollar denominated amount of credit that the market would be able to utilize. So, we just think this is a cleaner naming. And because we have feature flags set up, we know that there aren't any external integrators that have already used the existing iMarket interface. So this won't be a breaking change.
With the ability to create accounts and account IDs of your own choosing, is there a danger of something similar occurring, wherein people are copying the first four digits of an Ethereum address and the last four digits of an Ethereum address in order to spoof people into transacting value to that address? Or is there not necessarily the same potential for transactions to be occurring between the NFTs?
I'm not sure if I'm totally following. What would be spoofed in this case?
Basically, I'm asking if there's an instance where the ability to choose a similar account ID to an existing one might open the door to impersonation of that account ID and that account NFT in a way that can be used to extract value somehow.
Aren't the account numbers just sequential?
Yeah, so the generated account numbers will be sequential, and people can choose their own IDs. I don't think there's it's sort of in the same way that you can mint an NFT of an ID, where there's no like technical security risk along the lines of what you're describing. But if someone were fooled into reading a similar number on a screen that's not actually their ID, there's some risk there, but I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not sure if there's a way to mitigate that from a standpoint.
Probably most of the time, on the UI is going to be handling all the like logistics of like managing your account ID or switching account IDs or something like that. So it seems unlikely that there would be much of an attack vector there as long as the UIs are kind of the things that are handling or managing the account IDs. But there is a possibility that, you know, if you're, for example, trying to send money to a friend, and the attacker knew that you were sending money to a friend or something like that, you could theoretically do that type of attack. But this is like the kind of thing that would only happen if you weren't like copying and pasting and you weren't checking the account owner and doing all this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could avoid having this problem. And based on our current use cases, it's not like we're probably not going to be seeing people transferring assets between accounts like that, unless it's like between their own accounts anytime soon. At that point, Synthetix is a much bigger protocol.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you just start dealing with like ENS delegation or something for the accounts to not worry about it as much.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions on SIP 321? All right. Is this ready for a vote? SIP 321.
Just one other question. Do you remember when DNS addresses were 3 digits starting to accumulate value as these are account NFTs that are going to be able to be created with choice in mind? We foresee that being something that would be possible.
That's true. Yeah, maybe Synthetics account ID 420 will have some market value. Get on that.
I'm buying 888.
Right. We'll see. We'll see.
Agreement.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny if we charged like a small fee for every account that people like it's a, some sort of an NFT mint, like we charge 0.001 ETH or something like that. Yeah, just to make people think twice about minting accounts.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, the trade value term for that is just an account origination fee.
Yeah.
We can put that in a separate SIP.
Once it starts doing more volume, then Quentin are in trouble.
Cool. Yeah, otherwise, I think it's ready for a vote. I'm hoping this is pretty straightforward.
Great. Sounds good. I guess we can move on to SIP 298, adding a bunch of synths. Matt, I assume you'll be presenting that. Just a note, it looks like the volume numbers might be in need of review again.
Yeah, those are definitely out of date. I can update them. But yeah, this SIP was prepared some time ago and was definitely in a bit of a limbo period as we waited for market to be added by Pith and Chainlink. For all of the markets, I will drop the link so you guys have it as well. But in terms of all the markets that are added, you've got Aptos, you've got Lido, you've got Cardano, GMX, Filecoin, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, Kiba, Curve, and yeah, that's the whole list. This SIP is really more so approving them in a pause state, and then after that an SCCP would be proposed with all market parameters, and the market parameters can be found in the configurable value spot. So really all this would be right now is adding the markets in a pause state, and then from there another SCCP would be proposed for everything else on this side of things. I am happy to update those volume numbers and do anything else, but I think this is relatively straightforward, and we've got the proper feeds from Chainlink and then the off-chain feeds from Pith. So.
No additional feeds have come up since this SIP was written and they started actually getting the feeds out.
I'm sorry, I think I lost you towards the end of that, Tara. Could you repeat that?
You said that this SIP was written a while back. Have any feeds that aren't included within it come up that it might be worth considering adding while we have the SIP in front of us?
I can definitely check on Chainlink and Pith, but I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head. But I can definitely get back to you. Cav may know. I know that he's been a little bit more involved in the process of checking for those. But not sure off the top of my head, Tara.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I don't know quite how serious he's been, but I think it's just said just SNX. So. He is serious. So yeah, it looks like it's ready to go.
Oh yeah, no, FIFA. FIFA is being serious, so yeah. But yeah, this is a relatively straightforward SIP, especially as it doesn't deal with the actual parameters for each market. So yeah, that's probably everything I have from my side. I'm happy to take any other questions.
When is it expected to be deployed?
Okay, well, that is a great question that I would actually send back to you and some of the folks over at on the Perps team. But I would hope for the next release. That's what I would hope for. But I think you would know more than me, Caleb.
Yeah, not likely next release. Maybe the one after that.
I like how you asked that question while fully knowing that you knew the answer to it. That's it's definitely a good way to end the day, Caleb. It's a good day good way to end the day for you.
Hopefully, like in 2 weeks' time, maybe. That's the target. If conditions allow for that.
Yeah, well, I'm happy you and Afif were able to get some laughs at my expense. But yeah, sounds good. So I guess we'll go with the good old 2 weeks then.
Anyone else? Questions on SIP 298? All right, so I guess, Matt, you'll make those changes. Caleb, you'll set up the votes for those two SIPs, and we can call it here. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Connor.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.